Hello, and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know, but know nothing about. I'm Jamie.
I'm Emily.
Each week, we'll break down a topic from Billy Joel's song, We Didn't Start the Fire. We will take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this podcast is not for you. If you are a sweet dum-dum just like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic is Dacron.
Draco Malfoy.
Not quite.
Okay.
What, do you think you know what it is?
At first I thought it was a person, and I still don't know anything, but you did tell me it's not a person.
It's not a person. I gave one little clue. It's not a person.
Not a person.
And I picked this topic because it was one of the many that I had absolutely not a clue.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
But now you know.
Now I know. I know a lot.
Tell me.
You will soon.
I'm afraid.
Too.
I'm nervous about it. I don't know why. It sounds scary.
It is something all around us.
No, that doesn't make me feel better at all.
It makes me feel worse. I don't know why I thought that would help.
It's around you, bro.
It's here.
Oh my god. All right, let's get this on the road. Okay. I'm afraid. Just get it over with.
Dacron is essentially a brand name.
Oh.
That's it. It's a brand name.
Okay.
But what it's not like... Okay.
Okay.
It is... The official name of what Dacron really is polyethylene terephthalate, but it's commonly abbreviated as PET. Or sometimes P-E-T-E.
Pet or Pete?
It's a polymer, and it basically, all of that just means polyester.
It's a fabric?
Yeah, it's plastic.
Plastic.
Plastic. Dacron equals plastic.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's less scary now. Keep going.
Yeah. It's true. It's all around you.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically a brand of polyester. So it's used in like fibers for clothing, obviously, like a suit, containers for liquids and food, and used a lot in manufacturing and engineering. And it's a lot, like most of the time, like in packaging and stuff like that. So I'm going to do a little bit of information on the actual topic, and then I'm going to kind of take a little bit of a turn because, again, it just...
Let's go on that tangent.
Plastic.
It's so that's end of episode. It's plastic, guys.
It's plastic.
Bye.
Now you know. But I thought it was interesting. Polyester makes up about 18% of world polymer production, and it's the fourth most produced polymer. And that's like more recent numbers. Like, think about how many more things were like 50s clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And 60s, like all of that, like all of the food packaging and like TV dinners that were, I mean, people still eat them, but they were all of the rage.
Everything was made.
Yes. Space blankets are made out of them too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So it seems appropriate that that Billy Joel would add it to the song, I would think. But maybe it was somewhat like Hula Hoops, just needed a...
Need those syllables
to make it work. In 2016, it was estimated that 56 million tons of PET are produced each year, and most thermoplastics, which these are, can be recycled.
They can be recycled.
In theory, can be recycled.
Okay.
But a lot has to go into it in order for it to be recycled.
Okay.
But it has a resin identification code of 1, which it just basically means that it can be recycled.
Yeah.
And a lot of one way that it has been recycled, which I thought was really cool, is being turned into carpet fiber.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, like, all of the plastic bottles and stuff like that, I cannot get into all of the steps. There's literally, like, 25 steps.
Please don't.
That these plastic bottles need to go through. One of them I really like just by sorting by color.
Oh, I would like
that
step.
They look kind of pretty all together. But But Mohawk Industries released Everstrand back in 1999, and it's 100% post-consumer recycled fiber. And since then, 17 billion bottles have been recycled into carpet fiber.
Whoa.
Just by that company. So I thought that was a pretty neat...
That's cool.
...idea.
I can't wrap my head around what 17 no. billion bottles looks like, but it sounds like a whole bunch.
So many. So PET, like many plastics, they're also an excellent candidate for thermal disposal or incineration. And so it's composed of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen with only trace amounts of catalyst elements, and there's no sulfur. So like burning them at a high temperature can melt them and then be recycled.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Polyester plastic... Dacron, all of the different names, PET, all of those, was discovered in a lab at a company called DuPont.
Oh, I know that company.
You have heard of that name because they have done many, many things.
They make all sorts of stuff, right?
So many things. They're big. They're still a very big company.
Oh, yes.
And this was in the late 1930s where just the idea of plastic... was becoming more and more of a revolutionary topic. And the scientist, W.H. Carruthers, was who was really working on those polymers.
Real name.
Yes.
W.H. Carruthers.
Yeah, we'll talk about him soon.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But he had set it aside to work on his newly discovered nylon.
Oh.
Yeah, he also discovered nylon.
How do you discover? You're just like a chemist and you put stuff together and you're like, I just made this new thing and it's going to be the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he had been working on all of these things, so many different things here and there, all over the place. And he had notes. And a group of British scientists actually applied all of his work in 1941, and then they created the first commercial polyester fiber in 1941 called Terralene.
Hmm.
Then DuPont purchased the legal rights from these British guys in 1946, and that's when the actual fabric, or not fabric, but plastic fiber called Dacron came about.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like some another company, Eastman Chemical, called it Codel, Terralene, Dacron.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Okay.
Russians called it something else. It was all the same, but it was all the rage to have uncomfortable, ill-fitting clothing.
Everyone wanted it.
Everyone wanted it. But I'm going to focus... on that W.H. Carruthers, because he was an interesting guy, and I thought, wow, if he was doing all of these things, he created nylons, which, not gonna lie, I kind of was really hoping the person who created nylons was going to be a woman, but then,
no.
Obviously not, because if you've ever worn nylons, it's the worst
If you were a human being who has put nylons on, you would know.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand, everyone. Put them up high.
I see you.
Everyone, they're the worst. Yes.
So it all makes sense. But he was a very smart guy. So I'm just going to talk about him for a little bit.
Cool.
He worked at DuPont eventually. And in that building is in Wilmington, Delaware.
Oh.
He went to a college in Missouri. And he was really good at chemistry. Like, really good that before he graduated, he was made the chemistry instructor. While also studying chemistry, because one of his teachers had left for a different college. And they're like, you're really good at this. You can teach. And then he, like, taught himself as well.
Wow.
Like, crazy smart.
That's hilarious.
He graduated from there when he was 24 with a Bachelor of Science degree. Then he went to the U of Illinois for his Master's of Arts degree. Then he went to get his PhD at the University of Illinois as well.
Cool. All over.
All over.
All the school.
All specializing in organic chemistry and math.
Oh my gosh, so smart.
He received the Carr Fellowship, and it, at the time, was the most prestigious award offered at the university, and then he stayed at the university for two more years to teach organic chemistry. So he was very much into the academia, studying, discovering, all of those things. He then went to Harvard. That's how you know you've made it big.
Same.
To teach. And then this is where his connection to DuPont came in. Okay. Because DuPont was funding research that he was doing. And they're like, this guy knows some shit. He should work for us. So they hired
him. Stop teaching at colleges and come make the real money.
Yeah, don't make the people smarter.
No, make us money.
We just need you. Make us money.
Yes.
So that's what he did. He moved to Delaware, and he headed up the organic chemistry department.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. He was paid $500 a month.
What year is this?
30s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
And other Harvard teachers usually only got paid around like $250,
$275. Mm.
So he was making big bucks.
That is big bucks.
And despite like all of this praise and like, we need you, and all of this hoopla of like, come work for us, leaving teaching was really hard for him. And he was just a depressed guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Teaching was his passion.
Teaching was his passion. And maybe not even teaching, but just like working in a lab, I think, was really his thing. So yeah, he worked basically exclusively with polymers. Do you know what a polymer is?
Sounds like when two things have to be together. Is that it?
Close.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, no, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's a lot of things
together.
So it's basically a very large molecule, and it's very, very, very long.
Okay.
And it's long and composed of many repeat subunits.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm so with you.
DNA is a polymer.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because there's like repeating, the repeating things. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Whew.
Okay.
Cellulose is also one.
What's cellulose?
Huh.
Is that related to sugar?
Yeah, I think
like
so.
Like sucralose?
And also, glucose? All things
ending in O's is sugar, right?
Yeah, they're really long, I think. But also, just all things plastics. Everything plastic is
everything that's polymer. Plastic is a polymer?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
So yeah, that is a polymer, and he worked with those, and he just continued to make strides left and right. And in 1930, so it was a little bit before 1930 when you asked before.
Okay, sure.
But he and his staff created the first synthetic rubber, which you may or may not have heard about. I recognized it, but I didn't know what it was called. Neoprene?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And it was really big in the war, and it did a lot of really great things. So it wasn't just him, but his staff working at DuPont.
Got it.
They did that.
Interesting.
So now it's 1931. So he's 35. He has a whole bunch of buddies at DuPont.
Yeah.
They work together. He moved into a house with many of them right near the area.
Yeah.
With other DuPont scientists, and they called their place Whiskey Acres.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Weird.
he lived there for the next few years, and they were often saying that he didn't hang out with them so much, or if he did, he was kind of more reserved. And he was often depressed. It impacted his relationships, and just, you know, you hang out with all these people you work with. I would imagine at Whiskey Acres, it's a fun time. But he was a depressed guy.
Aww.
Yeah. One of his friends was also quoted saying that Carruthers showed him that he kept a capsule of cyanide attached to his watch chain.
Uh-oh.
Which, as a friend, I feel like I'm going to take that while you're sleeping and flush it down the toilet.
Maybe we should talk more about that, friend. Uh-oh. I'm getting nervous again.
You should.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, all this, his career was going strong. He was also, during this time, having an affair with a married woman.
Okay. He was not married.
But she was. Sylvia Moore was. And he really cared for her, and she cared for him. She did eventually get a divorce from him.
Wow.
Her husband.
She left her husband for
mm-hmm.
Carruthers.
And during that same couple of years that he was with her, his parents were needing some assistance. They're getting old. And so he was like, come live with me. So they, like, he moved out of the other house, lived with his parents. They did not approve of the whole Sylvia affair thing. And so ultimately, like, it was too much of everything. She ends up leaving her husband, and then they aren't seeing each other anymore. Probably a good thing for her.
Oh, boy.
Sylvia, I hope you lived your life. I never followed up with you.
Oh, man. I wonder what happened to her. So it was his parents that were sick? Or her parents?
His parents.
Okay.
So I don't think they were sick. They were just old. But then they were like, this is too much drama. We're moving back to Des Moines. So it was like a whirlwind of a couple years of family relationship stuff. But then he started dating a woman named Helen Sweetman.
Oh, of course.
Who, doesn't she just sound sweet?
Helen Sweetman.
She also worked at DuPont, and I thought it was pretty cool. She held a bachelor's degree with a major in chemistry.
Yes, that is cool.
There wasn't a lot more information about her, but it was like, you are great.
Yes, you're a chemist in the 30s.
And she had to, she worked with the patents.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cool.
So, in 1934, work was really busy again, especially during the summer. They were at work all of the time. Then, Carruthers just disappears.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What?
He disappeared. He didn't go to work. No one saw him.
Where'd he go?
Well, he was found at a small psychiatric clinic in Baltimore.
He was in Delaware?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in Baltimore.
So it's not like a crazy drive, but he went to Baltimore. He was so depressed, he drove away to consult a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And that psychiatrist was like, yeah, buddy, you need to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like he was aware of his mental state.
Yeah.
And didn't want other people to know about it. Although I didn't read that, but you would assume if you're driving to Baltimore, you don't want to be...
Did he go to Johns Hopkins, or it was just an institution in Baltimore?
Mm.
I was just curious.
It might have been Johns Hopkins.
So he did this voluntarily. It's not like he was committed. Okay.
He went to get help,
yeah.
But then they were, I think, mutually were like,
yeah,
you gotta
you're
go.
You're gonna stay here.
Yeah. He was released shortly after and went right back to work because he had polymers to work on.
Mm-hmm.
He was working under extreme pressure to find the next chemical breakthrough from DuPont. They were like, okay, you found this, you found this. We need the next big thing. We need to make more money. Like, it's going to be good for the company. It'll be good for you. And then under a lot of stress and a lot of crazy pressure, a lot of smart things happened, and that's when he created nylon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was in 1935, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And through all of that, through him doing that, they decided that it would be a great thing to produce commercially. So that takes time to get it all figured out. But he and his team created nylon. He married Helen.
Oh, good.
Yeah. On February 21st in 1936. And then very soon after that, he was elected to the National Academy of Sciences. He was the first organic chemist to receive this honor.
Wow.
So he was like a really happy
really,
thing.
Yeah, he was a really important to the science community.
Yeah, and he was like needing to do speeches and talk to people. He didn't like doing that, but it was like, you are so smart. We want you to talk and talk
right.
to these people and talk at our college or teach this for us. And it really just seemed like it was such a good time for him, but he wasn't happy. He couldn't be. He was so depressed. And then also willingly admitted himself to the Pennsylvania Institute at the Philadelphia Hospital. He was there for a month, and then he was released. So, like, a longer stay this time. Soon after he was released, he went hiking with some of his friends, and then it was time to go. But then he didn't go. He stayed hiking, and he didn't tell anybody he was staying hiking. So everybody was like, okay, Carruthers is missing again.
Uh-oh.
He didn't even tell Helen, his wife.
Oh, no. We can't leave Helen out.
Mm-hmm. And then one day he just all of a sudden showed up at her desk at work and was like, yeah, I'm here. So it became very clear to Helen and his psychiatrist out in Pennsylvania that, you know, we got a situation on our hands. And then I think a lot of it was with the times where it was like, Helen, you're not suitable to live with him. Like, you're not strong enough. Hmm. Like, if something were to happen, or I don't know.
Okay.
That it just wasn't, like, she couldn't watch over him. Like, it wasn't something that she could do. Or she agreed that that wasn't...
She agreed it was more than she could handle?
Yeah.
Or were they telling her, like, you're a woman and you can't handle this?
I think it was probably that, which is shady, but...
Okay.
The times.
But it does sound like he needed more help than just maybe one person could... I mean, he needed a lot of help.
Right. So it also became, at that same time, became apparent that he no longer would be doing any real work at DuPont anymore. Because they're like, okay, we appreciate all the work you've done. Mm-hmm. You're very smart still. You're welcome here anytime. But we're not expecting anything from you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, come and go as you please. And he still would come in.
Okay.
I mean, but I don't...
It wasn't on, like, a regular...
I think they paid him still, but
sure.
It was like, we're just going to kind of take our hands out of this. And so when they realized that he shouldn't live with Helen anymore, he moved back in with his friends and coworkers at Whiskey Acres.
That's better?
Apparently.
No. Oobly.
Oobly. So this now brings us to 1937. Carruthers' sister dies of pneumonia.
Uh-oh.
So he travels to Chicago for a funeral, then back home to Des Moines for her burial. And during this time, he would travel back and forth to Philadelphia to visit his psychiatrist.
Wow.
So, like, he felt really good about his psychiatrist in Philadelphia, I would assume, to be doing all of that traveling. Even though his psychiatrist, this is so bad, and I read it in two different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Even his psychiatrist... thought that suicide was the likely outcome.
Oh my gosh.
How yuck.
I mean... I mean, this whole time you've been talking, all I can think about is how different this person's life would be, how different it would be for Carruthers if he lived now. Because even now, you know, I feel like we're starting to have conversations about mental health and...
Mm-hmm.
self-care
yeah.
and awareness and all of these things. And even still, there's a stigma around mental health. And this was almost 100 years ago. I just can't imagine.
And he was actively finding...
And he was seeking it out.
He was seeking it out.
Which means, I mean, it was probably so necessary and a big step for him to have to take. But, like, obviously, they didn't have the resources or the knowledge or any of this.
Yeah.
Woof.
Okay. I know.
I'm worried.
I know.
Okay.
It'll be over soon.
Oh, God.
Yeesh.
Mm. Helen.
So, Helen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Helen actually saw him on April 28th. That was the last day she saw him.
Okay.
He went to visit her at work. But on April 29th, 1937, he was, I think, 41 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He did commit suicide in the hotel room in Philadelphia, so right by his psychiatrist's office. He committed suicide by taking cyanide, which, shocker,
yeah,
that was, like, always his plan.
It seemed like he had this plan for years. Ugh.
But in true chemist fashion,
oh no,
I kind of like this part. I mean, it's
there's
not
like
a good,
poetic justice
it's,
part.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. He took it after dissolving the cyanide in lemon juice, knowing that the acid would speed the effect of the poison.
Wow, that's like so morbidly.
It's yeah,
fascinating.
But like I don't know. I didn't know that.
I don't
but
know.
He knew
I don't know anything.
No, sweet dum-dums.
We're dumb.
He didn't leave a note, and it's going to get really bad. Just, like, one more little, like...
Okay, just rip it.
Okay.
Okay.
The other sad part is he had been talking with Helen the couple days before, and Helen, just 3 days before his death, told him that she was pregnant.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did she have, she had a baby?
She did.
Okay, well, Helen is going to be okay, I think. Maybe?
She'll be okay.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about her some more.
Please, I need to hear more about Helen.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'll talk about her first.
Okay.
So, I want to talk about Helen Carruthers, and then another girl named Jane Whelan.
Ooh.
Jane Whelan, you ask?
Who's Jane Whelan?
That's Carruthers' daughter.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I found a little bit of information about her. She's, like, in her 70s now. She lives, I believe, in Florida, just doing her thing. She was 13 when she heard that her father had committed suicide. Helen had kept it from her, didn't want her to know. She had found it out by reading a book, of all places, written about, not even about her father, but it had come up in the story of that was how it ended. And then she also had found out more things later on, and it's kind of crazy. The information that DuPont had on about Carruthers and all of his work, they initially had somebody had arranged that all to be removed from DuPont.
Whoa.
I'm fairly certain this could be maybe hearsay.
Okay.
But two women who worked at DuPont were like, no, we're keeping this. And so it was still there for people to do this research to read about and learn about him.
God, I hope that's true.
I hope it is too.
The two
I'm
just
going
like
with
badass
it.
Ladies are like, yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Wowie. Okay.
And at first I was like, oh my God, I'm digging more into that because I bet you it was Helen or, you know, whatever. Sure. But Helen, she actually gave up her job at DuPont because she was like, I gotta go.
I can't be here.
But yeah, Jane, when she found out, she was really mad at him for a while. And she remembers that she would not buy nylon stockings in like somewhat of a protest. But she also shared that they made her feet sweat. So she was like, Who has time for that?
Who needs this?
Why, Dad? Why?
Why?
But the other side of it, too, which maybe this could be negative, but I looked at it positively, is that she did carry on her father's genes of depression. But learning about it and hearing about her father, it really helped her get through it. So it's nice to know about your history. And, like, she is a happy person for the most part and just living her life.
Good.
I think I read somewhere that she also, like, somehow worked for the Huffington Post.
Okay.
A roundabout way. I don't know. She's just human.
She's an interesting person.
Yeah. Another really cool lady.
Yeah.
I want to talk about is Wallace's. I don't know if I ever called him Wallace. Carruthers. It's just so much more fun to say Carruthers.
Carruthers.
But his sister, her name was Isabel.
Isabel. Is she the one who died of pneumonia?
Okay. Yeah. She was so cool.
What'd she do?
She was a radio soap star.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. It was originally aired in the evenings, but then it gained so much popularity that they started playing during the day. It was like the first soap.
Mm-hmm.
But on the radio, right?
Yeah.
So it was called Clara, Lou, and M. And it continued through the 30s. It was a drama series that centered on three women living in a small town duplex. Clara and her family lived on one side, and Emma, and her family lived on the other. And the widow, Lulu, that's who Isabel played, lived upstairs with her daughter.
So it's like Sex in the City in the
30s. So naturally,
just kidding.
There was a lot of things happening.
Bunch of people living in a duplex.
A widow with a daughter. Oh,
scandal.
It was really big in Chicago. Colgate Palmolive was their sponsor.
Yeah, so they were the soap.
They were, yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's called a soap opera.
But it was their sponsor.
Right, but no, but that's why it's called
a soap.
Right, because the commercials were for soap.
Soap.
That's why it's called a soap opera.
But they...
Sorry. Yes. Did you know that?
I did.
Okay, good.
But, like, that was a big...
It's like a big fucking deal.
Big deal.
Palmolive.
Like, Colgate. Everybody who listened during the day was a lady
yeah.
who needed...
Everyone needs soap.
Everyone needs soap, okay? Not
okay,
just ladies.
Not just ladies. Men, to be clear. Women, children, dogs, lizards.
Wombats.
Okay, keep going.
So, yeah, it was a huge deal. But like I said, Isabel did die of pneumonia.
Yeah.
But the other actresses, they were good friends from way back, and they decided not to continue the show.
Oh, wow.
But years later, they're like, okay, people are talking about it again. So they did get another one of their, like, mutual friends to play her part.
Hmm.
And it changed to different stations and things okay. like that. But it was still...
I wonder if there's still audio that exists of her shows. Like, I wonder if there's any audio that exists of her.
I'm sure there is. There has to be somewhere.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the movie called The Man in the White Suit?
Nope.
I have.
Did you watch it?
I did. It's a movie kind of loosely based on this idea of a polyester, even though I don't think they say polyester in the movie, okay. but like a suit that you don't need to wash for how many days, because that was right, like the whole idea of a polyester suit is that it stays clean and all of this.
Yeah.
So the man in the white suit, he creates in this lab, he's like this nobody. It's a black and white movie. And like
so this is supposed to be about Crothers, or is it more just so about like
it's not the, about the, Crothers, okay. but like the whole concept of creating this new fabric.
Okay.
So this white suit that he creates, like of course, like he goes down by the docks with to go show his friends his white suit. Mm-hmm. And one of them, of course, he's all dirty and dusty, and he touches his like mm-hmm. dirty hands, and the other woman is like, don't touch his white suit. And then he like very easily like just flicks it off.
Brushes
and he's like,
it off.
Look at this, I made this. And then they realize after like everybody's trying to get the patent, somebody's like, this isn't gonna be good for business.
Oh, because if you, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it was just downhill from there. And they're like, you're just trying to scam us. And then they, like, chase him. And then, do you want to know the end of the movie? Or
yes, tell me. We can stop listening if you don't want to know
listening.
The end. Count
they
to ten.
They all catch him. Like, there's this mad chase around the town.
Uh-huh.
And they all corner him. And somebody goes to grab his jacket. And then the jacket falls apart.
What? That's the end of the movie?
That's the end of the movie.
The jacket just falls
apart.
The
jacket falls apart. So everybody starts grabbing yeah. a piece of the jacket in his pants, and he's left like in his boxers and a t-shirt. And he goes and gets his things and walks out of town.
What in America just happened there? When did this movie come out?
50s.
Okay, sure, that checks out. Wowie zowie.
So just in case you ever felt the need, you don't have to, because I just summed it up for you.
Listeners, if you fast-forwarded, go back and listen. You don't need to not know the ending of that movie. We'll spare you.
So,
oh, man.
That's a little about Dacron, a little about plastic, more information about a mastermind that we will never be as smart as.
Yeah, a tortured genius, it seems.
A tortured genius. And mm-hmm. a lot of people talked. There was one, you know, very worldly man. I have no idea who it was, but he was quoted as saying, "That's what happens when an intelligent man works for an organization," or something witty,
right,
like that. But
tried to tame his genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he had anything to do with any fire, but
but maybe a Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
Because chemistry.
Chemistry.
So and Crothers.
I mean, Dacron, I don't think, was any part of fire.
No.
They should, everything that's made out of Dacron should be set on fire.
Now I want to look at everything that's plastic around me and see what the recycle number is on the bottom of it.
Oh, it's a whole list.
Yeah, because there's many numbers.
It has, yeah, the resin identification numbers.
Oh, boy.
There's many. And you can't always do every number.
Oh, no. Right, you can't always do every number. And I think it's also different where you live.
Anyway. I don't think anyone understands it completely. But one is okay to recycle.
If you listen and you understand how the recycling numbers work, tweet at us or just, I don't know, post something on our Facebook or on our Instagram. Please let us know.
But even if you don't, just recycle.
Everyone recycle.
We're pro-recycle.
The more you know.
I've been Jamie.
I've been Emily.
Bye.